want to read some more from Luke chapter 24. You don't need to follow in your Bible if you've already closed them, but if you've got them open, you can begin with me at verse 27, and we're going to read down through verse 32. Jesus was walking with these two men on the road to Emmaus, and in verse 27, the Bible says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Here were two disciples. They walked in great sorrow. They were taking the 7-mile trip between Jerusalem and a little village called Emmaus. It was late in the afternoon on Sunday, the same Sunday that our Lord had risen from the tomb. Now, these were not two of the apostles. We don't even know if they had a prominent place in the group of people that surrounded Christ. Probably not. They were just two ordinary men that had been in Jerusalem, that had seen Jesus crucified, and now they were making their way back home, and they didn't know what was going to happen. They'd heard reports that some of the ladies had been at the tomb, and the body was gone. Jesus' body was gone. They'd heard reports that a couple of the disciples, Peter and John, had run toward the tomb, and they found it empty as well. But they thought perhaps that somebody had stolen the body. They didn't know what was happening, and so as they were making this trip, they were talking among them about themselves, and the Bible said that they were sorrowful as they walked. And as they walked, a stranger approached them. It was Jesus, but they didn't know it was Jesus. And he asked them, "What are you talking about, and why are you so sad?" And they said to Jesus, said, "Well, you must be a stranger. You must not have heard what has happened the past few days." And they've told him about the trial and the crucifixion of Christ. And here he was, the one that they were talking about. Here he was, the one that they were sad about, walking with him, and they didn't know it was him. They had no reason to be sorrowful. They had no reason to be sad, but they did not realize that the one that was traveling with them that day on the road to Emmaus was the very one who they were talking about. That stranger is the Lord of life. That stranger was the one that very morning had left Joseph's tomb. That stranger that very morning had left death and hell into captivity. The one that was walking with them was the creator of all things. The one that was walking with them was the giver of life. The one that was walking with them was the one that had just given his life so that they could have life, and they didn't know what they had. They didn't realize what they had. The Bible says, as we read there in those additional verses that we read, that he took the scriptures and reviewed the scriptures and talked to them about the scriptures that talked about him. Perhaps he went back as far as Genesis and went back to in the garden when God told Satan that he was going to use the seed of a woman to bruise his head. That seed was the one that walked with these two men. Perhaps he went back and talked about Moses and the prophecy that a prophet like Moses was going to come. That prophet was the one that walked with them. Maybe Jesus went back to Isaiah 53 and talked about the scriptures that says that he was bruised for our iniquities. With his stripes we are healed. This is the one that Isaiah 53 was talking about. They didn't realize that it was Jesus who was walking with them. Perhaps he went back to Isaiah, talked about a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. This and that child will be the Messiah. This one, this stranger that was walking with them was that child. This stranger that was walking with them was the Messiah. Perhaps he went back to Daniel, talked about the 70 weeks from the time the temple was rebuilt until the Messiah would be born. Maybe to the book of Micah that foretold where he would be born. The one that was walking with them was the one that fulfilled all those prophecies. Every prophecy in the Old Testament about the Messiah, every prophecy in the Old Testament about the Savior, Jesus fulfilled in his birth and in his life and in his death. And so he took the scriptures. Perhaps Jesus mentioned the Passover lamb from the book of Exodus. Perhaps he mentioned the serpent of brass in the book of Numbers. Bible says that as he took those scriptures that referred to himself and talked to these two men, that their hearts burned within them. There was something about this one. There was something about his person. There was something about the way that he took the Bible and explained it to them. There was something about him. They didn't know exactly what it was, but they didn't realize what they had. He was walking and talking with them. The King of Kings, the King of Israel, the King of Glory, the King of Hosts, the King of Heaven. He was walking with them. They were walking and talking with the King, but they didn't realize what they had. They were talking and walking with Jesus of Nazareth, that stone that was cut out without hands, the Lamb of God, the way, the truth, the life, the door, the Good Shepherd, the resurrection, the bread of life, the living water, the light of the world, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. They were walking with that person who had all those titles, who fulfilled all those purposes. That's who they were walking and talking to, but they didn't realize what they had. They were talking and walking with the Son of Man and the Son of God, the fairest of 10,000, the altogether lovely, wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Rock of Ages, the I Am that met Moses by the burning bush, the one that was the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. That's who was walking with them. That's who was teaching them. But they didn't know him. They didn't recognize him. They didn't realize what they had. They were walking and talking with the one that had been crucified, the one who came up out of the tomb. We wish we could have been there and said to those two men, wake up, wake up. No reason to be sad. No reason to be sorrowful. You're walking with the one you're sad about. You're talking with the one that came up out of the tomb. He's no longer dead. He's alive. We serve a risen Savior. No reason to be sad. This is the one that was introduced by John the Baptist, the one that was baptized in the River Jordan, the one that raised Lazarus from the dead, the one that took two little fish and five small loaves of bread and fed 5,000 men, the one that walked on water, the one that calmed the storm, the one that made the blind see and the deaf hear and the dumb speak and the lame walk. This is he, no longer to sorrow. He's not dead. He's alive. And he walks with you and he talks with you. And yet they didn't realize what they had. You saw him tried. You saw him indicted. You saw him crucified. You saw him laid in the tomb. Perhaps they were there around the tomb that they laid Jesus in and saw as they rolled that stone across the opening of that cave. And now here they were. They were going back home. They were sorrowful. Yeah, they'd heard reports that the tomb was now empty, but they didn't know Jesus was alive. They had no proof that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And yet if they could just open their eyes, if they could just recognize who was walking with them, they had no need to be sorrowful. They had no need to be sad. They had every reason to be joyful. They had every reason to rejoice. This one who had died and laid in the tomb for 3 days was alive, and he was walking and talking with them. But they didn't realize what they had. They didn't realize what they had. Hey, some of you here this morning are just like those two. Some of you are come cut from the same cloth. Some of you are in the same club that they were in. You don't realize what you have. And I'll put myself in that same category at times and for certain things. We don't realize what we have. Let me give you some examples. Number one, you got out of bed this morning. You were able to resurrect yourself out off of that mattress and stand erect and get out of bed. There are thousands of people this morning that wish they could have done what we did this morning to get out of bed. Some of them are in rest homes. Some of them are in hospitals. Some of them are at their homes. But they don't have the strength. They don't have the health to get out of bed like you and I did this morning. Someday, and it was for me this week. I tell you what, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and even yesterday, I did not stand up and get out of bed. I got on my knees and got out of bed. I had to crawl everywhere I've gone the past 4 days. I'm glad that God got me up this morning, and I'm grateful. I'm preaching to myself on this point. Most of the mornings I get up, I don't realize what I have. Amen. I forget about those people who can't do what I just did in getting out of bed. And someday it will be us. Someday we'll be old and feeble. Someday we'll lie in a bed wishing that we could get up, and we'll look back to this day, and here's what we'll say: I didn't realize what I had. I didn't realize the blessing that God gave me, the strength and the health to be able every morning to get up, to stand up, and get out of bed. We don't realize what we have. God gives us that strength and health to do that. You were able to get dressed and get in a vehicle and come to church. Thousands of people around the world wish that they could do what you did this morning to get up, drive in a vehicle, and come to church. Again, they're confined. Some of them are confined and don't have the health and the ability to get up and come to church. Others live in parts of the world where it's illegal to come to church. If you come to church in certain parts of the world, they'll arrest you, throw you in prison, and persecute you or kill you. And there's thousands, literally tens of thousands of people around the world that look at what we did this morning and coming to this place, and they say, oh, I wish I could do that. I wish I'd lived in a place where I had the freedom to get up and come to a house of worship and worship God in the way that I see fit. And listen, one day it may come. It may come because we lose our health. It may come because we are persecuted. But it may come. The day may come when we look back to a day like today and we say, oh, I wish I realized back then what I have. We take it so much for granted. We take getting up in the morning and getting out of the bed for granted. We take coming to a place like this for granted. Sometimes we don't realize what we have, and we need to. We need to. Number three, this morning you got to come to Sunday school. You got to sing as we sang praises to God just a moment ago. You got to give in the offering, and we take it for granted. Look, and again, I won't ask you to raise your hand, and I know it's a sort of a special day because we're celebrating Family Day, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But how many of us, if the truth be known, got up this morning and say, well, it's just another Sunday. Nothing special about today. It's just another Sunday. And we go to church on Sunday. So I'm going to go to church on Sunday. And we take for granted the privilege that we have, the freedom that we have, the ability that we have to come to Sunday school, to be able to sing, to be able to give and support the church. We take it casually. We take it for granted. And one day, we may look back at this day and say, oh, I wish I could do what I did this day again. I wish I had the ability to come to Sunday school. I wish I had the strength to stand and sing. I wish I had the ability to give. Don't take for granted what God has given us. Don't take it for granted. Realize what you have. Don't waste today. Number four, it's Family Day. For some families, it's Family Day every week because you get to come to church with your family. Some of you have the privilege. You get to come to church with your kids. You get to come to church with your grandkids. You get to come to church with your parents. You get to come to church with your grandparents. You get to come to church with your brothers and sisters and your aunts and your uncles. Sometime I'm going to make a chart so everybody can know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going to do the family trees of all the families that are in our church so you can see how everybody is related and interrelated, and uncles and aunts and sisters and brothers, because I don't think most people realize how much of a family place this is. But we get to come, and we get to come to church with our family. That's what Family Day is all about when we started it, is making an emphasis for families to invite their families to come. But if we're not careful, we'll take that for granted. We'll take for granted that we get to come to church with those that we love. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. One day that will not be the case. One day our kids will grow up and move away. One day our grandchildren will grow up and move away. One day grandpa and grandma, mom and dad, brothers and sisters will be taken to heaven by the Lord. And we'll look back on a day like today and we'll wish to God, we'll pray to God, if I could only go back, if I could only go back to a day like today, and worship with my children, my grandchildren, my mom and my dad, my grandparents, my brothers and my sisters. If I could only go back and do that for one day. Oh, we desire to do it. We desire to do it. And my point is this morning, don't take that privilege for granted. Don't take the opportunity that God has given us to worship with those that we love for granted. Enjoy every moment. Take advantage of every moment. I know of two situations in our church where different members of different families are fussing with one another. Look, fix it. You say, preacher, you don't even know the detail. I don't need to know the details. Fix it. Amen. There's nothing worse fussing with your family about. You fix it. Say, well, they were in the wrong. It doesn't matter. You fix it. You fix it. Make it right. This day's not going to last forever. You're not going to have them forever. Take advantage of the time that God has given you today and enjoy your family. We don't realize what we have. Number five, quickly, you get to hear the gospel. Today, you get to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get to hear that you're a sinner. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You get to hear that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Not physical death as we know it, but spiritual death. Being separated from God. That's what sin does to us. It separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. And you get to hear this morning that God loves you. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not when we cleaned up our act, not when we turned over a new leaf, but while we were yet sinners, he loved us and sent his son to die in our place. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You get to hear that this morning. You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death, but your God loves you, and he sent Jesus to pay for your sins. That's what it means. He gave his only begotten son. He sent Jesus to the cross. And like that verse in Isaiah that we referenced a moment ago, God laid on Christ all of our iniquities. He laid on his son all of our sins. And as Jesus died on Calvary, he paid for every sin. He paid for every iniquity. He paid the debt that we owe. And the Bible says if we believe that, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If we call upon Jesus this morning, he will save you. Amen. He'll save us. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You get to hear that this morning. You may not get to hear it next week. You may not get to hear it the week after next. You may have refused the gospel so many times that your heart is hard. And the next time you hear it, you won't be open to it. You won't listen to Holy Spirit, that still small voice that speaks to you and says, hey, what that preacher is saying is true. God does love you. He did send Jesus to die for you. And your only hope for heaven is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The next time you hear it, your heart may be so hard that you don't want anything to do it. And if you're not careful, one day in hell, you will lift up your eyes and you'll think about a day like today and you'll say, I wish I would have realized what I had, and I wish I would have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. You don't know what you got. We don't realize what we have. If you're not saved this morning, you have an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. You have an opportunity to get your sins forgiven. You have an opportunity to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have an opportunity to reserve a home in heaven. You have that opportunity today. Realize what you have. Don't take it for granted. Don't let it pass. And then number six, you get to serve Jesus.
Amen.
You get to serve Jesus. Some of you taught Sunday school. Some of you sang in the choir. Some of you played instruments. Some of you sang specials. Some of you collected the offering. Some of you worked in different places. There's people working right now in different places in the church. And often, we do it without thinking. Often, we take it for granted. Often, we do it as a duty. We don't realize what we have. I decided a long time ago. I get up early on Sunday morning. This morning it was about 4 o'clock. I spend time in prayer. I finish up my Sunday school lesson. I go over the message that God's laid on my heart. And I can't remember how long it's been, 10, 15 years, something like that. I decided every Sunday morning that I got up, part of my prayer time was going to be to thank God for the privilege that He gives me to preach. I don't ever want to take it for granted. Every time I step behind this pulpit, I realize that this may be the last time that I get to stand in this place and preach. And I don't ever want to take it for granted. I don't want to ever think that I'm going to have this privilege for a long, long time. I remind myself every Sunday morning, today may be the last time that I stand behind that holy desk and open this holy book and preach a holy word. I want to realize what I have. And I want you to realize what you have. You see, one day there'll be people that look back on their life and they'll have regrets. Those people say, I wish I would have realized what I had when I had it. I wish I would have realized that the time that God had given me to spend in church with my family, I wish I would have realized how good and how important it was. And they'll have regrets. But there'll be another group of people, and this is the group that I want you to be in. There'll be another group of people that'll wake up one day, and here's what they'll say. I know what I had. I know what I had. Every day I know that God blessed me. Every day I know that God gave me things that I didn't deserve. Everything I know that God was so good to me, and I didn't waste a single one of them. I realized what I had. I took advantage of everyone I had. I enjoyed everyone I had. And I have no regrets because I lived life to the fullest. That's why I tell you, when you have your birthday and your anniversary, celebrate big. Celebrate big. You got to treat every birthday like it's going to be your last. You got to treat every birthday, every anniversary like it's going to be your last. We ought to treat every opportunity that we have that it may be our last. When I was laid up this week, I did a lot of reading. I made it through just about the whole New Testament in the last 4 days. But I did also watch some documentaries on TV. I don't get to watch documentaries too often during the week. But I watched a documentary about Princess Diana. It was her two boys, and I don't know how long it's been out. Some of you may have seen it, but it's about her two boys. This is the 20th anniversary of her death, and her two boys, William and Harry, was talking about their mother. And one thing that stuck in my mind, they talked about when they got the last phone call from their mom. They were on a holiday in Wales, and she was in Paris the day that she died. And I think William was 15 and Harry was 12, if I remember their ages right. And when their mom called, they had to be drugged to the phone. And they both said, yeah, we talked to our mom, and we didn't want to spend much time because we had other things going, and so we got off the phone as quickly as we could. Both of them said that. And then they both said, if we had known that it was going to be the last time that we were going to get to speak to our mom, we would have taken more time. We would have said some things that we didn't say that day. If we'd only known. We see, nobody knows. You don't know, I don't know. We don't know. We don't know how much time we're going to have left. We don't know how many more birthdays we're going to get to celebrate. We don't know how many more anniversaries we're going to get to celebrate. We don't know how many more days we're going to have like this, where we get to get up out of bed and come to this place and worship God. We don't know. Let's realize what we have. Let's take advantage of it. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to do that today. You may not get another opportunity. You need to take advantage of what's available to you today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that you have blessed us. Oh, you've been so good to us. You're such a good, good God. You've blessed us in so many mighty and wonderful ways. And I pray, Father, that we never take those blessings for granted. We never just go through the motions, that we'd open our eyes and that we would realize that every single day, every single moment of life, everything you give us is a blessing from you, not to be taken for granted, not to be overlooked, but to be enjoyed to the fullest and to be lived to the fullest. And so I pray for all the Christians that are here. Help us to realize how precious life is, how good that you've been to us, and to enjoy the blessings. And then, Father, I pray for those that don't know Christ. I pray, help them to understand this may be the last chance they have to come to the Savior. And I pray you would help them to come. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.